Now, the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome to the second hour of your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on a damp North Michigan Avenue on this Mother's Day. Joining me here in the studio is Paul Vallis, former Chicago Public Schools CEO, former city budget director, and current candidate for mayor of Chicago. Paul, thanks for joining me this
morning. Thanks for having me. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. So the first question, why?
Well, I think the city's in trouble. I think they're in trouble financially. And when you're in constant financial crisis, it impacts your ability to deal with so many other things, like public safety, like economic development, like infrastructure. And I'm not talking about the mega infrastructure projects. I'm talking about the type of infrastructure projects that directly impact working families, you know, like streets and roads and clean water mains and things like that. And it also impacts your ability to really provide economic opportunities that benefit the entire city. So, you know, so I think the city's headed in the wrong direction, thus my decision to run.
Now, obviously, you've had an extensive financial background. I mean, dating back to when I think you and I first met, and you were doing a few years ago. I won't
right,
go any further.
Right, and
that.
I was bald then too. I
yeah.
that, so.
But. What are we not doing that we should be doing when it comes to restoring kind of financial stability in this city?
Well, you know, I see no long-term strategic planning. If you remember when I became CEO of the Chicago Public Schools, the first budget we submitted was a 5-year structurally balanced budget plan. We assessed what resources were available and what resources we could secure. We also realized that if the school district grew, we would get additional money, regardless of what the legislature wanted to do on the school funding side. So what we did was we designed a 5-year financial plan that was really intended to be a investment plan, because budgets need to be investment plans. And so what we did was we funded initiatives that were designed to make the schools more attractive, to grow the schools, to bring magnet programs to neighborhood schools, like the 18 international baccalaureate academies that we put in neighborhood high schools. And the net effect was, through a combination of fiscal discipline and the fact that the school district grew, I think we picked up 30,000 additional students during that 6-year period. The only period in the last 30 years that the school district has seen increased enrollment. We ended up beginning with a five-year structural deficit of over $1 billion, and we left the school with an operating budget reserve of over $500 million. And when you counted all the other cash reserves from all the other funds and the net assets, it was like over $1 billion. And a fully funded pension system. It's the reason we got 12 bond rating upgrades. So I think what the state has to, what the city has to do is the city has to take that approach. And I just don't see that happening. You know, the budgets are political budgets. Look, the mayor in his first term literally punted on just about everything. He didn't make any tough decisions on the tax and spend side. And people say, well, should he have raised taxes earlier? If you had begun addressing the problems earlier, the long-term costs of addressing those problems would have been diminished. Because, as you well know, if you're not going to make the investments, if you're going to waive pension contributions for 4 or 5 years, or if you're not going to go to the state and get the state to change the law to provide equity and it's their contributions to the teacher retirement systems, which they could have done when Quinn was governor for 5 years, instead waiting until Ron was governor 6-7 years later. The pension fund itself would have over $1 billion in additional investments, meaning taxpayers over the long run will be spending $1 billion less in contributions. So that's why you need long-term planning. And again, the long-term planning has to invest in the type of things that are going to help the city generate growth. Because ultimately, we solve our problems by growing, by growth. Because growth expands the tax base. Growth distributes the tax burden more broadly. Growth creates the economic opportunities for the West Side and the South Side and the areas that have been long neglected. And I see no strategy. I see whether it's policing, whether it's infrastructure, infrastructure, whether it's economic development. I just don't see any strategy.
Yeah. We're speaking with Paul Vallis. He is a candidate for mayor of Chicago. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. Joining me here in the Allstate Showcase studio is Chicago mayoral candidate Paul Vallis. Paul, you've offered a kind of a template here. What about specifics?
Well, you know, my approach to this campaign is going to be to offer the type of specifics that people have not seen in traditional campaigns. You know, and so my goal in the coming weeks and the coming months is to lay out my specific recommendations on every single issue facing this city. And on Monday, I'm going to talk about comprehensive public safety, how to deal in a comprehensive way with the public safety challenges this city is facing. I mean, we have more murders than L.A. And New York combined. Our clearance rates on shootings is 4%. Our clearance rates on homicides is 17%. I mean, that's scandalous. And it's not because we don't have good detectives. It's because they gutted the detectives division, and now they're rapidly trying to build it up. But the point is, I'm going to do that on economic development. I'm going to do that on how to address the issue of the 17 to 40-year-olds who are ex-offenders, who are TANF, who are chronically unemployed, who are high school dropouts, who have neither the skills nor the economic opportunities. I'm going to talk about the issue of infrastructure in the neighborhoods. And I'm obviously going to talk about the issue of how to develop a long-term financial plan and the things that you have to do to bring that financial plan in line in terms of having being able to structurally balance your budget, being able to make sure that you can fund the investment initiatives that are critical to moving the city forward. And in that process, I'm also going to talk about pensions. So my goal is to focus with great specificity on those issues. And I'm going to take the approach that as if I had just gotten elected mayor, and what I'm going to be proposing are the things that I would be taking to the police department, I would be taking to the city council, I would be taking to the state legislature. Obviously, I tend to win, and I'm in it to win, but even more importantly than that, I'm in it to offer what I feel will be real solutions to deal with the real problems that Chicagoans are facing.
Well, obviously, you've got your press conference tomorrow on public safety, but, I mean, really, we seem at this very strange point with issues like carjackings and just, you know, people always talk about, oh, well, downtown, it's okay, it's, you know, the problems are elsewhere.
Not anymore.
That's what I mean. The problems are everywhere.
Well, look at the police strategy. You know, when I was budget director, Terry Hiller told me that he needed 13,500 police officers on the street. He needed 1,200 detectives. They needed a ratio of sergeants to officers. I was saying enlisted men. My sons were in the military, so I was military terms like, you know, boots on the ground and things like that. Sorry about that. It's not a reflection of my politics. It's just, there has been no strategy. The mayor comes in, he promises 1,000 cops. Where are they? You know what I mean? They took almost 1,000 positions out of the budget. You know, some say it was even higher. So then they dismantle for many of the special units, etc. So the net effect is they don't have enough police officers to maintain beat integrity, and every single time there's a crisis, they're moving officers around. And sometimes they're moving officers from one district to a district that they're not familiar with, and not to patrol, but sometimes just to sit in cars. So at the end of the day, there's no continuity in terms of the level of police staffing in each of the districts. And when you're moving people around, because you don't have the supplemental officers that you can dispatch, when you're undermining beat integrity, that has a direct impact on your ability to combat crime. You know, they're paying people overtime to work in other districts rather than giving them overtime to work in their districts on their beats, patrolling neighborhoods that they know. The detectives division that I talked about. You know, in New York and L.A., the percentage of detectives that are the percentage of their police force is like 14-15%. Our percentage had dropped to, I think, 3 or 4%. They had gone from 1,200 detectives to a little over 600, depending on the numbers. Again, you see, you know, it's always hard to get definitive numbers, and you can figure out why. But the but who does that? And now, of course, they're rapidly rushing to hire more detectives back. But the detectives that they're hiring don't have a whole lot of experience, you know. And so you wonder why the clearance rate on shootings on are 4%, or the clearance rates on murder are 17% compared to those in other cities. So it's that lack of stability. It's the lack of resources. It's what is the strategy? You know, technology is only going to take you so far. You know, we saw the press conferences about how technology is taking us to the next level. Yet in the last 2 to 3 weeks, there's another huge spike in crime. So you need a long-term strategy for the police department, and that long-term strategy also means that they have to have the resources. They have to have the resources and the support needed to be effective. You know, we talk about police accountability, and, you know, there's going to be a consent decree. I'm a strong supporter of accountability, but the ultimate accountability you have is when you have a police department that is adequately resourced, that has enough officers, that has the supervisory infrastructure to supervise these officers. You know, not a 1 in 30 ratio of sergeants to officers, but a 1 to 10 ratio of sergeants to officers. When you have training officers that can work with these young officers, you know, my middle boy, his training officer, oh my God, I mean, he still connects with his training officer. He's in San Antonio, Texas. And, he had his training officer, worked with him, so I don't know how many months, but he is still there for my son to reach out to. So there's that constant mentoring and things like that. So you need to create an infrastructure of accountability. And you know, if not equipping officers with alternatives to the use of lethal force, first of all, not providing them with the training, but secondly, not giving them the tools, was sheer negligence. You know, the argument that we heard about why the officers couldn't have enough tasers. In New York City, they have 15,000 tasers. What was the number? Now they finally purchased enough tasers to provide to the officers. Of course, they haven't trained all the officers yet, but look at the number of years when they weren't purchasing tasers. And some people were using the lack of funding as an excuse. How much have we paid out in lawsuits since 2004? Somebody told me it's over $600 million. Somebody told me since 2011 it's approaching $280-290 million. One less lawsuit payout would have funded the tasers, and the taser training. So I see no strategy. I see no plan. I see negligence. And it's because everything is politicized. It's the D.C. politics of, we're working for the next election. We've got to raise enough money to scare our opponents out of the race. We're making decisions that based on politics, not based on the real needs of working men and women who are police officers and firefighters and city workers, etc. You know, individuals who have to go to work every day and provide a service, but living in continual uncertainty as to whether or not their mission is going to change or their assignment is going to be altered because of some change in political priority. And I think that's the fundamental problem. We've imported kind of the Washington, D.C. Political management approach to the management of our city.
That's Paul Vallis, Chicago mayoral candidate, former CEO of the Chicago Public Schools. Paul, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me.